Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Walking in silence and stepping lightly on the ground are two rules with which Belgian artist Stefan van Biessen frequently asks companions and participants to comply. Today's walk is an exception, as we step away from the activities of Maid of Walking in La Romure in southwest France, for which Stefan is one of the organisers. Eschewing the car since 1994 and travelling lightly and slowly through Europe, Stefan styles himself as a flaneur, observing human movement and interaction. Walking is what he does. Whether it's running daily errands, making artwork, or allowing his mind to relax. Well, we're walking through La Romure, which is where Maid of Walking is.
Yeah.
This isn't the first Maid of Walking you've been involved in.
No.
So tell us a little bit about Maid of Walking.
Maid of Walking is the third edition here in La Romure. There were also two Maid of Walkings last year in 2016 in Delphi. And the organization, Animart, who is doing a summer school there, invited Geert Vermeer from the MENA principal to make a proposal to make a Maid of Walking there. So it's really a typical summer school. People from all over Europe come there, mostly young students, but also theater makers. It's a bit of an eclectic group of people. We managed to do it this year in 2017 for the second time. But what is interesting is that you can gather people together. You can initiate them in the whole idea of walking. And the idea of walking came simply because we are walkers. I'm a flaneur, as I said earlier, because it's a wonderful thing to be a flaneur, because it gives you a sort of freedom to observe. And on the other hand, you can become a face in the crowd. That's what I like a lot, to be anonymous. So it gives me the opportunity to do some observations. And from those observations, of course, then I can get ideas of making an artistic work, installation of whatever, what comes to my mind that I want to make. But the main source is always this walk. This is the relation with Maid of Walking, because we also worked with the concepts of silence. In 2010 in Athens came this idea, was very appealing to make this Maid of Walking as a sort of coming editions. Now, here in La Romure, there are about 40 people coming for this Maid of Walk. It's wonderful. We feel it's a privilege, you know. I was invited to make a solo exhibition because my work is related, of course, to walking. And here in this place where there's a lot of walking by pilgrims on the way to Santiago de Compostela. So there was a relation with my work. And then came the first idea of can we make a Maid of Walking here? And in the beginning, I thought, if we have 15 persons, that would be great. But now it's 40, so it's a success for us. And also this combination of being yourself a sort of stage when you can talk about your ideas, your own ideas, and on the other hand, follow the other workshops. So it's a process of learning, and on the other hand, experiencing and see what is interesting for you. Like, for instance, this morning when Peter Jaeger was reading his poetry on the Lavoir, it was a wonderful moment. It was very contemplative, but also it was just a gesture of beauty. Now, if I want to say something about the MENA Peninsula as itself, it's a long story, but it's a story made of friendship, you know. It's simply as that. In the year 2000, we got together with people we didn't know, because Geert came from Germany. He was about 6 years, he was a student of Serge Celibidache, the famous director of the Münchner Philharmoniker in Germany. He went there as a poet to get a sort of idea how poetry can be something that is related to music in the most absurd way, as I'm saying, as words with almost no meaning than just the sound of the word. So it was this hardcore. We got together And in the beginning, you know, we were working together and had no idea what it would be, but we became friends, and there was a need to work together. And finally, when we worked, we did some 3 or 4 projects, we found out that when we got together, there was a sort of magic, between people.
And you began right at the beginning walking?
We always walked. When we met, for instance, for the first projects we did, it was a sort of tour around the village. And even when we were giving lectures, there was always a walk in the town. It's a second nature, you know.
But I was going to say, you're a musician too.
Yes, so, I'm a musician too. So, I grew up in a very bourgeois environment, but it's not that. And my father was a musician too. And he wanted that his sons became a musician too. But on the other hand, I was very influenced at the time by the music that came from the UK, like Roxy music and whatever. So for me, it was a sort of a feast. I started to learn guitar very young, and it was a sort of disappointment for my father because I was involved in rock music, but I wanted to be a good guitarist, so I played in several bands after finishing art school. So I had sort of the scene of the punk and the new wave in Belgium, and it became afterwards very important because in the electro music they did a lot. But afterwards, when I got stuck with making music and I decided to stop with this rock band because it was a very noisy period, I became to think about silence. And of course, silence connected to walking. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of aesthetical quality. Also, the walk as an environmental, ecological act, because you have to know that in 1994, my wife and I decided to get rid of our car after a car crash. And since that time, we have no car. And we traveled through Europe by walking and also, of course, taking trains and whatever. But we managed to get where we want to be. But it's also an attitude. You take time. In the beginning, it was a bit like a cold shower because we had to reorganize our time. But afterwards, now we carry a book. When there's a moment that we have to wait for a bus or a train, then we read or we do something else like listening to music. But for me, silence is a very interesting condition. And of course, I have to tell you, it makes everything much more complicated. But at that time when we got rid of our car, we started to follow those Tai Chi Chuan courses. And of course, it's very related to standing on the earth, how to walk like a cat, for instance. That's a wonderful, and I had to admit, it saved me from not getting an heart attack or whatever. It's a good exercise to get silent in deep inside yourself. But you see, this combination of this, what we learned with Tai Chi and how we could walk and how you could walk on a very consciousness base, it all influenced me very, very intensively. I even started to make exhibitions had names of walks. Like the title of the exhibition was Head Wanderer. Another exhibition was called Wanderlust. So always in relation with walking. And then people came and they were asking themselves, how come it's related to walking? Because it are drawings or whatever, or drawings of walking. But for me, walking is not only walking here in the country, but also having a walk in your mind. And it makes humanity so complex because you're not, you see, a mental walk. And that's what I wanted to show. And maybe this influence of Tai Chi Chuan made it more complex, but that's what I need to express, that walking is not only a physical action, even spiritual action, because it's a demand for consciousness. It's maybe a bit arrogant that I ask this to people, but it's a demand, but please be aware and observe and be whole as a person in the landscape. And of course, with a tremendous respect towards the landscape, because in my point of view, this being busy with walking is a sort of homage to the landscape where you're walking in. during these walkings, sometimes you get curious ideas, and I started a conversation with one particular tree. I wrote 40 letters to that tree. You know, I don't consider myself as a romantic walker, you know. I more consider myself as a sort of... I'm definitely a searching person, or something. I wonder what life is all about, and I'm looking for ways for myself to get an idea what life is all about. I won't be able to know really what life is all about, but this to be wondered and wondering is a very appealing aspect in life.
Apparently everyone you meet has some story of their own life that's associated with a particular tree or a particular wood or a patch of wood.
It's really amazing because I have to be humble, you know. You often meet people who are really know more than you. That's a good sign, I think. Very good sign. Also, this knowledge maybe I could transpose it in something different because I made a library of walks also.
We've talked about your own philosophy of walking, but maybe a little bit about the actual pieces or projects. Or
since 2004, I was curator for an exhibition in a park where I invited ecological artists who worked also with trees and in the relation with trees. At the time, there was a Midsummer Night's Walk, a poetical walk. I had an installation that was like a sort of music instrument without strings. So it had both sides, a very clean side, like a music instrument. And on the back it had something very organic. During this Midsummer Night's Walk with poetry, we have had to do something different. And the idea grew of starting a library of walks. I'm asking to people who are coming to do this walk to bring a bocal, a glass bocal.
And then a glass bottle?
A glass bottle, sorry, big or small. We do the walk, and I'm asking them to do it in silence, of course. I see it a lot in this festival, but it's a condition to walk, I think. It's a very important condition. And then people gathered what they found interesting on the walk. But some people, of course, they put some grass and some flowers. It's normal. But some people also wrote letters. And it became much more than I had expected. Sometimes there was also someone who was suffering from cancer, who put up some note. It was a very personal thing. It became something that I didn't have ever had expected. It was something more. People needed to put a message in it that was more than just an ordinary walk. It had to do a lot with sometimes to survive, to deal with problems in life. I did it in several sessions, and then suddenly I had some 300 of those glass bocals. I had a label on it with the name of the walker, the date when they walked, and the place where they walked. And then I had the opportunity to show those library in a real library. So you have to imagine that you walk into a library and see all the shelves with books, and suddenly there's a complete library unit only with those glass glasses. And then you see something as a sort of shift in the attitude of the visitors of the library. Normally they are standing on the books and they are on the shelves what book they want to read. But all of a sudden they were standing for those glasses. And then they start to read also of looking what's inside. And the interest is so big, it's so almost fascinating. What is this all about? And what is the content of this glass? And it was really fantastic. I did it several times. As a matter of fact, my personal collection is about 400 glasses. But there are much more, because sometimes I did projects where the people wanted to take their glass at home. And so maybe I'm speaking about 1,500 glasses that I did.
You just invited someone to take a walk with a glass
bottle? Yeah, yes. I had no restrictions. So just, again, my demand. Do a walk, do it properly, as I said, with unconsciously enjoy your walk.
It's rather like the library, I guess. You lend them a bottle to record something in it. And then
there were also people who made the recording, yes.
And they return the bottle.
And then they turned the bottle if they wanted to in my permanent collection. And so it grew and it grew. And I think this year I made the last one. It was a walking event on around the village where I live. And the people went from one place to the other, but where there were some activities. But I put this into the project that people during the walk also collected things that they found on their way. So for me, it's I hope it is a sort of eye-opener. I always hope that, very silently and very humbly. But that's what I would like to... Yeah, I was really surprised by that, because I had also the occasion during this, when they were in six groups, I think, and they came with 30 persons. It was a group, and I had the opportunity to talk about my library of walks, because, you know, this library of walks is also shown in Brasilia, in the Botanic Garden. In there's a really physical library there, and I also made models of several library of walk, in the hope that it one day could be a reality. So for me as an artist, it's interesting if the model already exists. Then for me, the work is already okay. It is made visual what I want to do. But indeed, as I said, it's all about awareness and trying to get set things in motion, you know. You know, in 1948, I had this exhibition.
1998,
sorry. There was a well-known artist who should make an exhibition in a very important park. She was pregnant and she decided not to do this exhibition. But they came to me and said, we would like to have an exhibition of your work. But I had only 3 months and it was very short. I had to invent 7 installations. But because it's outside, because I'm not a sculptor, you know. I make sculptures, but at that time I did really installations. But also make them. So I asked people to come and suddenly this exhibition, everything was ready. And I was not aware of the fact what I was doing. And I called the exhibition An Ear on the Grass. So it's a relation, really, lying on the grass and listening to the Mother Earth. That's for me very important. And also, I made this parkour where people could walk in the park. And then they discovered the works. It was not that the works were standing on the grass. They were laying against the tree. So I made a little house of whispers where you could stand in. And there was a small stroke where you could see the trunk of the tree. So it was a sort of like a praying place. That's what I did a lot. For instance, I made also a plant talker. That was a sort like a souffleur case, but very long, on three, and people could enter in, and they saw small light coming in the back, and there you saw the trunk of a small tree. And I asked the people, whisper to the tree, so that he become strong, strong tree in the end. It were all instruments. Yeah. I invited people to, during the walk, to do also have a sort of conversation with nature. And it was funny because people, we don't need instruments or tools to have a conversation with nature. But it was a bit naughty. But on the other hand, people saw it as a sort of artistic tool or playing thing, and they did it. I got good reactions, and for me it was... after this period, but in such a short way of 3 months, think or rethink the exhibition, make the work, and then making that everything is safe there on the spot, I shouldn't dare to do it now, because it was very intense. Not that I'm afraid from intensity, but it was also, at the time, all my ideas I could put in this exhibition. And it went on the national press. It was received as something that was... very new, but for me it was not new. It's very, very obvious, you know, because it was about a walk in a park and to discover things while you're walking. So that's simple as that. You know, the simple ideas are mostly for some people.
Listeners too will not know that for Made of Walking, you've done this thing where the flaneur actually stands aside and ensnares 3 people in a rubber band. I've done this, and it's called Triangle, and we try to keep a triangle within the rubber band. There are tensions between the walkers, but that also fascinates you too, isn't it? You not only like to observe people as the flaneur, also like to kind of manipulate.
Yeah. At this moment when I'm standing and I see those 3 people doing this exercise of enter the triangle, I am the flaneur, because I'm observing. And I'm observing how their reaction is and how they behave inside a group of 3. It's a psychological game they play. On the other hand, maybe it's something that should be more interesting, how people are relating to each other. And it could, maybe in the future it could be a good exercise to get three strangers together and do this exercise. Maybe they can learn to live together. And also listen to their body. For me, it are all aspects of walking.
There are loads of ideas and suggestions in here, but I always ask people, please, can you recommend a couple of walks?
Very practically, I would say that you can do wonderful walks in Istria in the autumn. It's amazing. You just get a map and you get lost, and if you can do it with friends, it's amazing. Then the colors of the trees are changing, and the colors are so strong. Also, Venice by night. It's a city where you have to walk because you cannot do anything else. As a walking place, is tremendous because you are walking in this history, this really Renaissance town, and then get lost. And the wonderful thing about getting lost in Venice is that you are never get lost. It's an island, several islands, and I like it a lot. Of course, nowadays it's crowded with tourists. It's a bit sad, and also this thing with these huge boats, they are coming, the cruises, it destroys everything, you know. Also, maybe it's cliches, but Lisbon is also an interesting town to walk. But of course, there are many, many places. And if I have to think about an imaginary walk, I would simply say walk in a town with an open mind and come back later and make some drawings of notes of your walk and reflect on it. That's what I do.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Stefan van Biesen. If you have any views on this interview or on any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.